Okay, guys. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. All right, give yourselves a hand. Man, I tell you what, the angels are rejoicing. We're doing it in two languages. I want to talk today about dealing with assaults against the church. And in order to do that, I really need to talk about your function in the church. Your function as a member in particular. Now, we've talked a lot about a lot of neat things lately. Over the last couple months, we've talked about humility. We've also talked about your involvement, you becoming more involved in the Christian movement. And I'd like to now focus more specifically on that aspect of involvement. In other words, what is it you could do? Now, I'm not going to do it all today. We're going to take a little while to do this because, well, it's a large subject. But to begin with, I want you to understand that God put functions within His people. They're called God-given spiritual abilities. And the Greek word is charismata. But He's put these God-given spiritual abilities inside His people. They're there. They're as there as a battery is in a running car. Okay? You can't have a car without a battery. It's just not going to work. Oh, you might get one started without a battery, but you're not going to get all the frills, okay? And those spiritual abilities are within you. Now, I was saying within His people in the church, but let's talk about you. Because God made His abode with you. Jesus Christ said that we will come and make our abode with you when you get born again. God and Jesus Christ live inside you. Literally. God is inside you. Jesus Christ is inside you. They dwell within you. You are the temple of the Lord. Okay? Now, with their presence, which is unending, as long as you're alive, with their presence are abilities. Wow. You've just got to say wow for a minute here, okay? I don't even know if you get it. You've got to say wow because of this real state, of this real situation. You've got God in Christ in you. You've got God who works in you to will and do of His good pleasure 24 hours a day. Always. They're always there. This situation is always within you. Well, you have to ask yourself some questions, I suppose, and you can do that in your private life. But what does this mean to me? If He's really inside me, if they are really inside me, doesn't that make me unique? Well, I'd say it does. In the Old Testament, in order to see God or to deal with God, they actually had to go into the temple. Now, the second temple didn't even have God in it. There was no lamp of God in that second temple, only in the first one. People have been without God for thousands of years. The only people that have had the privilege to actually fellowship with God, let's just not talk about the Old Testament anymore, because there was a huge gap in there, except for the prophets and an occasional individual. But the only people that really have had the chance, the privilege to fellowship with God, are those born-again Christians since the day of Pentecost. But the funny part of it is, many of them didn't even know it. Because you can be born again, and you can be as quiet as a church mouse. And I guarantee you that if you're as quiet as a church mouse, God in Christ in you is quiet as a church mouse. Because the way it works is that if you want to bring forth a God-given spiritual ability, you have to believe to do it. You have to do it yourself. You've got to do something. Well, this is dynamic. This is the dynamic Christian church. Because God's inside you. Jesus Christ is inside you. They're well aware of the needs in the body present. And so they'll just dish out a God-given spiritual ability as needed. And we'll talk about those, but I want you to understand the concept that if you don't have these God-given spiritual abilities functioning in the church, the assault against the church by Satan will wreak havoc and ruin. Where you have havoc and ruin in either the church or in individual Christian lives, these functions are not alive. These God-given spiritual abilities are not functioning in the church. Well, you say, well, Jerry, I'm pretty dynamic. You ought to see me every day. Okay. I mean, I can do this, this, and this, and I do it pretty well. You just ought to see me. Well, I got a raise at work. Well, you ought to see me over here. I've got these private things going on. I'm involved in these groups. And my gosh, I mean, people are just amazed at how I can lead or how I can teach or how I can help them feel better or how I can just keep the group together. Just amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is asleep. And most people are so selfish with what God has given them that you just don't see these things in the church anymore. You don't see the God-given spiritual abilities functioning in the church. Now, you'll see somebody out there that's got leadership ability, and they're a Christian. You'll see somebody out there in the world that can teach. Well, you put them behind a podium in a technical class, they're just great. You put them in a group of people and they're the one encouraging the group. You put them in a group of people that floundering and they're the one that brings it back together. Really amazing. Well, if you've got God in Christ in you 24/7, and if it's God who is at work in you 24/7 to willing to do of His good pleasure, you can't separate your God-given spiritual abilities from some worldly situation and from some church situation. It's you. It's you. And when He gives it, He gives it. It's there. In my opinion, we have run the gamut on selfishness. Whereas we deliberately manifest ourselves in the greatest capacities that we could in any given secular situation. Yet in the church, it's not there. In the church, you cry in hope that you'll see some God-given spiritual ability functioning. You just cry, wondering if it ever would show. Oh, you'll see one person teaching here. You'll see one situation there. And that's good. Everybody gets kind of happy and then they go their own way. Back to the world. Back to those other situations, those other causes, those other events. And that's where they really live their lives. I would like to propose something. I would like to propose that we turn the table on that. That instead of our acclaim being in the world, that our acclaim is in the church. I would like to propose that if you have a God-given spiritual ability, that you function with it in the church. I would like to propose that. I would like to bring an end to perhaps the greatest degrees of selfishness I've ever seen in my lifetime by proposing that instead of Christianity expending their entire livelihoods in the world, that they reverse that and expend their livelihoods in the church. That's what I'd like to propose. And it all comes back to you believing to function with your God-given spiritual abilities. That's what it comes back to. So there's my introduction. Okay? If you get that on the audio teaching, you might want to play that over quite a few times, because if you can understand it, then you can actually get into what I'm going to teach over the next weeks. I don't want you to undermine this subject. I don't want you to put it off to the side, put it on the back burner, minimize it, or downsize it in any way. I want you to understand that if you truly have God in Christ in you, and you do, then it behooves you to believe, to function according to your God-given spiritual ability. I don't know how else to say that. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you a verse that I consider a foundational verse for this entire subject. And you really have to ponder this verse. You have to meditate on it so that you get it. But this verse teaches about the body of Christ. It also teaches about your body. And it compares the two. It parallels the two. It teaches about sufficiency. It teaches about all-in-all ability. Not only in the church, if people are believing the function, but in your body as you live. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." It's talking about the human body. "For as the body is one," your body is just one body, isn't it? "For as your body is one body, and it has many members," you've got eyes, you've got ears, you've got a mouth, you've got hands, you've got feet, you've got all your internal organs, you've got everything in there, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Even though there's many different things, it's all just one thing. Because the ear looks like it's its own thing until you get to where it's attached. And the eye looks like it's one thing until you see what's behind the eye. And the tongue looks like it's one thing until you see where it's attached. It's all one body with these things on it and in it. And they all function as one body. Now, would everybody agree to that? So does the body of Christ. So does the body of Christ. We're all one body. But you got a teacher here. You've got an exhorter here. You got somebody that can bring forth prophecy here. You've got government's help. You've got many other ways of service. But they're all attached to one body. That's all you need to know. We're all one body. Okay, but if that's the case, we need to know how to behave. We need to know how to behave according to our function, and we need to know how to behave in the church as we use that function. And that's what you find these teachings on primarily. When you study 1 Corinthians 12, or when you study in Romans, about the one body. Or when you study in 1 Corinthians about the one body. All over the place, it's going to be in reference to how you function, what your functional behavior is, you know, according to your God-given spiritual ability. Like if you're adept in prophecy, how you do that. If you're adept in teaching, how you do that. How you function. Okay? So you've got the functioning of the God-given spiritual abilities, and then you've got your behavior in the church while you're doing all that. That's what it's all about. Well, turn to Romans 12, and you'll see this. You'll see that there's two focuses. Number one, you've got to focus on the function. And number two, you got to focus on your behavior in the church when you're functioning. It's not a free-for-all. If you're a teacher, you're not allowed to function outside of the behavioral guidelines, rules that God set up. So you've got two aspects. Your function and how that works. And your behavior in the church while you're functioning. And that's how you see Romans broken out here in chapter 12. We'll look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, I guess. And then after that, you'll see it's all about behavior. The first, though, starting with 4, is about function. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that word office is the word function. Okay, and this is talking about, you can first equate it to the human body, and then you can equate it to the body of Christ, because you just have to use that teaching to understand what it looks like, the scope of it. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're members one of another because we're all attached. We're just all attached. And it's really unique because I can do this with my hand and it's not bothering my eyes at all. It's just not hurting my eyes at all. Okay? I'm just wiggling my hand back and forth. Auf und ab. Back and forth. That's German. Anybody listening in German? I just learned that. I'm just wiggling it. I can see everybody in this room. I can talk. It's a little distracting and my arm's starting to get a little tired. Okay? And I can stop my foot while I'm doing that, and immediately my shins start to get a little tired. For some reason, it's just an awkward position. And it's really awkward as I wiggle my arm. And my feet's getting a little distorted, because I'm having to focus on a couple things. I guess if I did both of my feet and started wiggling both of my hands, I can still see everybody. I can still see everybody, but everything in my body is attached to me. And it is distracting. I'm having a little problem now because I really want to look at everybody, but I'm starting to get a little short of breath because I'm talking, I'm looking, I'm thinking about what to say, I'm moving my feet up and down, and you guys are thinking I'm absolutely nuts, and I'm wiggling my hands, my arms are stuck out to my side a little bit. I'm starting to feel this. It's starting to drain on me. I really do feel it, but I can see everybody and I can keep talking. Now, I can just act like there's nothing going on in me at all, except I'm just sitting up here teaching. As I catch my breath, and as I wish my arms would quit wiggling like this. But see, I'm controlling all of this. My head is telling my feet to do this, and my hands to do this, and my mouth to do this, and my lungs to do this, and my eyes to do this. My head is doing all of this. I suppose I could keep this up for a while, but I wouldn't want to keep doing it because I don't like it. It's not the way I was designed. My hands are used to serve things to me and others. Okay? I'd rather get out of breath if I was going for a jog, not just sitting up here bouncing my feet and legs up and down and my hands all over the place as I keep trying to look at everybody. But my head's telling my body to do this. Because I've decided that's what I'm going to do. Now, isn't this a strange situation? But I can still see everybody. I'm going to stop. Wow, now I'm feeling that. There's feelings that are going through my body. And it's saying, thank you, but now just give me a minute. Okay? I'm one body. I've got many members, but they were being used for things that they're not designed to do. And so I started stressing myself, and it's not good. In the body of Christ, you've got one head, Jesus Christ, and his instructions through God's revelation are laid out in the seven church epistles on how the members of the body of Christ are supposed to operate. If we are smart enough to read that and believe it and act on it, then we as members in particular will act according to our godly design. Our godly design is based on charismata, your God-given spiritual abilities. And if you act according to your God-given spiritual abilities in the one body of Christ by obeying His Word, by finding out what those functions are and could be and how they're supposed to operate, and by learning how you behave in the church as you are functioning, your body is not going to be, or the body of Christ is not going to be sitting around with arms waggling, feet jumping, getting short of breath, and all that stuff. But it can. And what's interesting is while you'll have some people in the body doing what they're not supposed to be doing, other parts of the body still work of Christ, the body of Christ. You know, you can still have a teacher that's doing his job and somebody over here is misusing the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They're teaching everybody that you don't have to interpret when you speak in tongues in the church. Okay? So you could have misuse going on over here, but you could have a teacher that's teaching the rightly divided word over here. He's still teaching, but I guarantee you that body of Christ is stressed. Because the Bible says when one member suffers, we all suffer. You're going to feel it. You're just going to feel it. Okay? What we need to do is understand that we're complete in and of ourselves, individually, as a human being, and the body of Christ is complete also. But let's not misuse it. Let's go to the Word and understand what it says so that we function properly and so that we behave properly. And so in Romans chapter 12, now verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And this is really neat when you start to understand this gift, because this is the God-given ability, the charismata one. You'll see three different forms of gifts. You've got charismata, which are God-given spiritual abilities. You've got doria, which are, I hope I don't get these mixed up, where you've got God giving you specifically an ability, and then you've got doma, these are Greek words, where you're delivering it horizontally in service from you to other people. Okay? So you've got God's overall, you've got God directly to you, and then you've got you to others. And this one is God overall, charismata. So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, in other words, God's favor is shed abroad in a church. So for instance, in our group, we have God-given spiritual abilities in every single one of us. You have them. You have them. You have them. You. Everybody has these God-given spiritual abilities within. They're just there. And it's according to God's grace. They're just there. Okay? That's a fact. But you're thinking, God, okay, so what? I mean, okay, I know that. I've read that a million times. Well, that's not my point. My point is, when are you going to believe? And that's what we're working towards. So I know you've read this stuff. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about getting it going. So he says, having them. Well, he wouldn't say having them if we didn't have them then, okay? Having then gifts differing according to the favor that is given to us. You know that God's in you, right? You know you've got God in Christ in you, right? Can they see? Can they hear? Can they feel? You betcha they can. They know what we need at any given moment. It's there. This is how this works. So this is what you've got to believe. And then he lists them. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I love this one because this sets the standard for every other one. This sets the standard. If you are going to function in the church, according to verse 4, have not the same office, have not the same function. If you are going to function with whatever it is you have, you've got to believe. And it will only become manifest in the church according to your believing. It's not God pushing you like they teach so many places. It's not you waiting around to get moved by the Spirit. That just doesn't happen, folks. It's a lie from hell. That stuff doesn't happen. And if you teach it or believe it, you've been misled. If you want to function in the church, you have to believe. Well, what does that mean? Well, the first thing it means is that you have to see that yourself as that kind of person. For instance, if you know within you that you're a teacher, that you could teach, and it just burns within you, you've got to see yourself as a teacher. You've got to start seeing yourself as that function. You don't just sit around and have good feelings every once in a while. Like when you see somebody have a need and you go, oh, I'd love to help them. You just sit there and say, I'd love to help them. And you just sit there and say, I'd love to help them. And you just sit there and say, wouldn't it be nice if I helped them? Or you see these needs where you know how to bring people together. You do. You do it so well. And you see these people, you go, in a church, okay? And you go, well, I'd love to help bring them together. And you see these people that have needs and you go, well, I'd love to help bring them together. And then you see these people that have needs and you go, well, I'd love to help them come together. And then you just go home. They're not coming together, folks. Step number one. Movement number one. Item number one. You have to see yourself as that function. You have to see yourself. if you have an ability to prophesy. I'm not talking about being a prophet. I'm talking about bringing forth prophecy, the manifestation of prophecy. You have to see yourself as one doing that. If you can't get past step number one, you're not going to function. You're not going to have any gumption. You're not going to be functioning. It's just not going to be there. Oh, you're well-meaning. I know that. And you're a sweet person. I know that. But folks, we're not talking about that. I love Christians, especially the ones that don't hurt other Christians. But I want to see function. I want to see function. We don't have to go into the Old Testament and walk into the temple and feel the presence of God. You've got God right inside you. You don't have to go back 2,000 years ago and hope that you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You've got Christ right inside you. Oh, I know to most that doesn't even make any difference at all. But I'd like to say that if you start functioning according to your God-given spiritual abilities, you're going to see God. You're going to see Jesus Christ. You're going to feel Him inside you. You're going to change your life. You're going to change the life of everyone around you. Because that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to function according to the measure of the gift within you. The measure of the gift. Well, what did He put in you? That's the measure. What is it? I don't know. You got to know that. This is not a mystery walk either. I'm sitting up here teaching because it's what I do. I'm not an evangelist. And I can't say that I'm a very good pastor. Although it's the role I have to play at times too. But I tell you what, I know I can teach. It burns in me. I'm like a sponge, you know, just drawing up the words of the Word. That's what happens within me. And then it just formulates and I get all organized on it and I can just teach and boy, that Spirit of God works in me. I know that happens. But every one of you have your own God-given spiritual abilities. And what you need to do is think about what it is. What is it that turns you on in the church? What is it? You've got something that does, and you do it so well. Now, some are listed here, but these aren't all of them, because there's catch-alls here too. For instance, in verse 7, on ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Well, do you know what that is? That's talking about any form of service there is. If you've got some form of service that you could do as a function in the church, and I'm going to make my point again, you can take your stuff out to the world all day long, but it's not doing God any good. You got to do it in the church. That's where it does God any good. Because now His people can get taken care of. God's people can't be taken care of for the most part unless His ministers, His servers, so to speak. I'm not talking about gift ministries right now. The five gift ministries, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, and... Apostles. Those are your five gift ministries in Ephesians. They're actually right here, too. Well, in Ephesians. I'm talking about functions. That's what it's all about. Verse 4 here. Functions. Functions, office, functions. And these things are designed to be used in the church. And look at yourself and say, well, I'm real good at this over there. Well, I'm real good at this over there. Well, I'm real good at this over there too. But what about in the church? What about in the church? And you can't brand these things. You can't go and, you know, stick them up on a wall and say, that's all there is. And this is the only way it could work and all that stuff. Man, we're talking fluidity here. We're talking movement. We're talking the Spirit of God moves like the wind, okay? And nobody knows how that moves. And we're talking about ever-changing, but ever-present. So what do you have? And are you willing to see yourself with that? This has nothing to do with age. This has nothing to do with profession. This has nothing to do with upbringing. This has only to do with a God-given spiritual ability given to you by God's grace as a gift. That's what it has to do with. This ought to just light your fire. You ought to be thinking, my goodness, what is it within me? Gosh, I've seen Jerry up there for 20 years teaching. But what is it in me? What is it I could do in the church that God put in me? You know, you could look in and go, God, what is it? Why don't you ask? Why don't you have him show you? Because if he knows that you really want to know, and if he knows that you're really willing to see yourself in that function, well, that means you got to crawl out of your cave. That means you got to crawl out of your selfishness. That means you got to crawl out of everything and expose your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your hands, in the church. This is not for cave people. This is not for selfish people. This is not for stingy people. This is not for people stuck only on themselves. This is for people that, well, we'll learn this later, but truly have an agape lifestyle. Where you have an agape lifestyle. Where there's nothing that holds you back from manifesting those agape characteristics in the church. That's how they all blend together. So it could be any form of service. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth. There's another catch-all, with simplicity. And I love that word, simplicity. That word ought to deliver you. You want to know why that word ought to deliver you? Because it teaches you that you can focus on your one thing. Now, if you got two, focus on two. But right now, let's work on one. It teaches you that you can focus. That's that word hoplotes. That's one of my favorite words in the Bible. Because I got to teach you that when we did the grace of giving. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. It's talking about focused direction. You can focus on your thing. And really focus on it. Get into it. Mold it. Shape it. Manifest it. You see, in the earlier verse, we learn according to the propitiation of the measurement of your faith, believing. Now we learn about focus. You know, they apply to all of them. If you're a giver, you're not the only one in the church that's supposed to be focused. If anybody is, with what God's given them. Man, if you woke up one day and realized that God was in you, wouldn't you focus on that a little bit? I would. Well, if you woke up one day and realized that he said, well, you ought to be doing this. You ought to be exhorting people. You're so good at it. He says, I put this in you. No, you weren't born that way, but when you got born again, I put this in you. Wouldn't you do it? Wouldn't you get excited about it? Wouldn't you say, yeah, I want to be like that. Well, where do I start? Start right now. Find one person. Okay? In your church. This is our church. This is where it happens. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Maybe you've been cave people too long. Now you got to come out of your caves, you know. Now you got to have a glass greenhouse or something you live in. I don't know. But you got to come out. And you got to start doing your function. Can you imagine what it'd be like? Every one of you have a God-given spiritual ability. It's within you. I can't take that away. But I also can't manifest it for you. And I can't tell you when and where to do it. This is yours. If you're a teacher, you ought to be teaching. If you're adeptive prophecy, you ought to be prophesying. If you're adept at exhorting, you ought to be exhorting. If you're adept at giving, you ought to be giving. If you're adept at any form of service, you ought to be serving. But nobody can do this but you. Nobody can turn this on but you. This is so individual. None of you guys call me and say, Jerry, I want you to get fired up and work up a teaching, and I want you to show up tomorrow morning and teach it. Not one soul has ever said that to me. Not one. And I don't think anybody ever will. Because you can't control me. You can't control the God in Christ in me. But you know something? I can't control the God in Christ in you either. I just can't do it. But you can. So you have to see you as a particular functioning entity in the body of Christ, in your church. You have to see you as a minister of some sort. I hesitate to use the word minister because it goes right into the five gift ministry category. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about all the governments and helps and all the supporting structures in the church. Now you can apply these to the gift ministries too, but they're on a slightly different level, folks. And we can definitely talk about those. But I'm not focusing on that right now. So when I say, man, if you ought to be ministering, you ought to be ministering. And there's a lot of these. There's a lot of these different things. I love this one, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness in verse 8. There are people that need to have mercy shown unto them. But if you're one of those people that happen to be very merciful, and some of you are not. In fact, most people are not. We're just the opposite. We're judgmental, not merciful. There you have the spectrum, okay? Judgmental on one end and merciful on the other. Okay? I tend to see myself as a very merciful person. I believe that's in me. And yet I have to remind myself to do it with cheerfulness. I really do. Especially in the tough cases. But I do. I think I feel good about that. I feel like I do that, okay? And I think if you look at my life, you've probably seen me do that. You don't ever see me be judgmental to you. Has anybody ever seen me judge you, be judgmental to you? Except for the vacuum cleaner incident? Just kidding. You see me judge you? You guys that have come to me and talked to me about very personal things, have you ever seen me turn around into this judgmental, unmerciful person? Ever? Do you even sense that it's there? Oh, I think that thing's alive in me. That's how I can tell. You can look at your own life and how are you? You know? But see, you got the guidelines. You got how the function's supposed to function. That's what he says. Here's the function on he that exhorteth. Okay, there's the function. Here's how it functions. On exhorting. Here's the function. He that giveth. Here's how it functions. Do it with simplicity. Be focused. If you're going to give, get into it. He that ruleth, that's the function. How does it function? With diligence. Well, that's pretty general, but it's also extremely focused. You can't be a ruler without being diligent. You're going to lose it. He that showeth mercy, how do you do it? With cheerfulness. There you have it. And then verse 9 on talks about behavior in the church. See, now we've left the subject of the functions and we've walked into how the functions are to behave in the church. You know, the first thing is love be without dissimulation. You can't elevate people and pick one person out and love them more than another. And these are behaviors now. So there you have those God-given abilities. And, that's just great, isn't it? Well, I'm going to stop there because I think I've given you a lot to think about. And I'm not going away. Okay, I'm going to keep talking about this stuff. Because I really want you guys to function. I want you to come out of yourselves. I want every Christian in the world to come out of themselves. Why not? Is all the stuff that you do so important you can't? I don't think it's going to amount to a hill of beans when Jesus Christ comes back. The only thing that's going to amount to a hill of beans is where you function in my body. You're going to look at the body of Christ, and are you just a dead hand hanging there? Are you a blind eye? Are you a deaf ear? Are you a sick stomach? Are you maimed feet? You're going to look at yourself then, and I guarantee you, those are the things that are going to matter. And we're always part of the body of Christ, folks. So this isn't going away. I don't believe it's going away when Jesus Christ comes back either. I think we're going to have roles to play then that all what we do now leads right into. Mark my words. Okay? So let's get busy on this stuff. Let's have fun. Let's function together.